If we haven't got to meet, my name is Jaron. I get to be our central worship pastor here across all of our locations. And man, I'm just going to do a shameless plug, but I believe in this with all my heart. I think we have the greatest worship ministry in Kentucky. Can you just give it up for some of these guys and ladies who lead you in worship all the time? Man, we are so incredibly blessed as a church, and we're blessed with incredible leadership under Pastor and Mandy. But even in the worship teams that we have, we've got some incredibly talented people. But I can tell you from doing one-on-ones with them, from being with them as their pastor, they don't just have talent. They have a heart for the Lord, and they really have a heart to lead you into moments of the presence of the Lord. And man, they take it seriously. They get here early. They leave late. They practice all throughout the weeks. They commit themselves to coming and bringing a high amount of skill so that nothing would distract you from your moments of leaning into the presence of the Lord. And man, I'm just so grateful for them. Could you just one more time just give it up for our teams? Well, if y'all don't know much about me, I am a dad of three girls. I've got my wife, Jordan, here with me. And we've got three girls. They're 10, 11, and 12. So someone pray for me. Intercede. Fast. Get a hold of the Lord on my behalf. I tell that to people, and they're like, 10, 11, 12, you must really like kids. I'm like, no, I just really love my wife. And it happened, but I wouldn't trade my girls for anything. I love them with all my heart. We got any girl dads in the house this morning? Come on. Oh, you should have said something. That was your only moment. Because you know you're not going to get a word in edgewise for the rest of the day. I know how it is when I get home in my house. It's like a hen house. I can't talk for nothing. I just try to go hide somewhere. Man, I love it. I love being a father of girls and being a father of young girls and trying to raise them up in the ways of the Lord. This weekend, we took a little family trip. We wanted to go to one of our favorite restaurants. So we took a little trip, road trip, went about an hour away to a place where we could get a good steak. Can I get an amen from somebody in the house? Hallelujah. Went to this restaurant. Had a great time, had a great meal, great time together as a family. Then we left there and went to a store that was in that town, bigger town that than where we're usually at. So we're like, let's go over to that store. Let's do a little bit of shopping over there. And we're getting ready to leave, and the lady behind the cash register looks at me and is like, y'all going to Adair County? And I was like, that's creepy. It's like, who are you? And then I realized one of my kids was wearing her high school volleyball shirt. I'm like, oh, I got you. I'm slow, but I'm worth waiting on. And I was like, yeah, we're heading that way. And she's like, well, don't go that way. Don't go down that road over there. And that's the usual way I go. And I was intrigued. I was like, well, why not? She's like, well, there's been a bad accident that way. They've shut down the highway going north. I don't know if you go that way. I don't know how long it's going to take you. I think they're rerouting traffic. What you need to do is you need to go over this way. And have you ever been out of town and gotten directions from a local person, and they talk to you like you know exactly what they're talking about, and you just smile and nod? Because she's like, honey, if you turn out of here and you go through the flashing light, then you go through another flashing light, you're going to get to this one place, and there's some hay bales right there. You take a right, and then you go down to this little country store right here. You take a left, and that'll get you down to the interstate, and then you'll make it just fine. And I was like, uh-huh. Y'all been given those directions before. I was like, I thought we were country in Adair County. And I couldn't make sense of what she said. So when I got out to the car, I pulled up the Waze app. Anybody ever use Waze? It was actually my first time. I've heard about it forever. I've had it on my phone, but I pulled up the Waze app because I've heard in these moments where traffic's bad or something's messed up, you get on Waze and it will show you the best way to go. And we left, and I found the way that she was talking about, thanks to Waze, going through the flashing lights and turning by the hay bales and the old country store, and I found my way to the interstate. And you know what I found? That was a faster way to get home than the way I was used to. What I found was I wanted to get to the right place, but there was a better way than the way I'd been doing it. I really had the right intention in my heart every time I've gone there when I would go there. But little did I know there was a better way. You see, my desire was right, but my process needed a little bit of adjustment. I wanted to get to the place that I needed to get to. I believe the fact that you're here means you're just like me, and the fact that the reason you showed up in church today is you're trying to figure out where and how to get to the place you need to get to. You need more of God in your life. Our attendance today signifies, man, I need the Lord. I need more of Him in my life than I've had yesterday. I need His power. I need His presence. But here's what I've learned, and can I question and challenge you with this? Is it possible that the way that we've pursued trying to follow God, it might be a little bit more of our way than His best way? Is it possible that there are places in our lives in the way that we have tried to follow Him, honor Him, live for Him, that maybe because it's been more comfortable, it's been more familiar, it's been more something that we're accustomed to, there are moments where we've leaned on our way of doing it instead of His way of doing it? You know, the Lord has ways. The Bible says this in Psalm 25, verse 4. It says, "Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths." If you know anything about the man who wrote this, his name is David. He was later King David. He was not a man who didn't have a relationship with the Lord. He knew the Lord, had a relationship with Him, pursued Him in worship, wanted to know who He was. And whether you have a relationship with Jesus or not, and you're here today, I believe you being here signifies you're looking for a better way. But here's the thing, whether you've never walked with the Lord or you've walked with the Lord for all your life, sometimes we have to get to the moment to say, God, help me, search me, know me, make sure there's nothing I'm doing that's my way, help me walk in your ways. I recently went to the doctor. I had some seasonal allergy stuff going on. Anybody ever been there? It's kind of that time of year. And so I went to the doctor and I was like, yo, fix me, help. I can't breathe. And they were like, that's the truth. And so the doctor's there, wasn't a long visit, and he brings out this piece of paper and he starts to write on it. And he gives it to me. What's that called? Y'all are smart. Come on, be bold. What's that called? A prescription. He prescribed something to me. See, when you go to a doctor, whether it's a health doctor, maybe you're going to a therapist, speech therapist, occupational therapist, maybe even a mental therapist. Many times when you go to see that doctor, to see that professional, they're going to write out a prescription for you. What are they doing? They're saying, this is the way to get back to healthy and stay healthy. This is the way. I'm prescribing something for you, whether it be medicine or it be an exercise regimen or it be a way that you eat. This is the way you need to follow to make sure you get healthy and stay healthy. They prescribe something. Prescribe. You know what prescribe literally means? It's already been written. And when I think of things that are prescribed for you and I, there is something that has already been written for you and I. It outlines His ways. It's called the Word of God. It is infallible. It is truth. Nothing in it is errant. It is solid. It will keep and it will stay even when earth and time is over. This will stand true. It's His Word. And He in His Word, God in His Word, has prescribed the way that we need to live our lives. And the way that He has for us, the ways of the Lord, make sure we get healthy, spiritually healthy, relationally healthy, even financially healthy, and stay healthy when you follow His ways, when you follow this book. The Bible even says in Romans 12:1 that as you follow these ways and you live a life according to the way God has prescribed it for you, that as you live that life, it is worship unto the Lord. So the way that you treat others according to this book, as you live out what it says, that is worship unto the Lord. The way that you honor God and put Him first, above and at the foremost place in your life, according to the instructions of these prescribed words, as you do that, that is worship unto the Lord. I think the fact that you're here honors the fact that, man, you are trying to walk out in the prescribed ways that He has told you to walk, because the Bible says He is the great physician. He's the greatest doctor there's ever been, and He's written the greatest prescription that will ever be written. It's called the Holy Word of God. But can I challenge you with this? As much as this Word of God has instruction for how we should live our life in God's ways Monday through Saturday, it also has instruction on what God wants worship to look like when we gather together as His people. He has prescribed His way. And in this Bible, there is an entire book on the way of worship. It's called the Psalms. It's a collection of worship songs and prayers that are now holy scripture that God uses to show, hey, this is my way of worship. This is my way of approaching my presence. And as I teach a little bit this morning, I just want to teach you about the way of worship. And we're going to dig into the Psalms a little bit. We can't go through all of them. That's more than what we can go through in one session. So you got homework. Go home and read. But what we're going to do is begin to say, God, what are your ways for worship? And why, God, would you be so particular about how you want worship? You know what I've learned is this. God is particular about the way He wants His people to worship, because when you get it right God's way, His presence shows up. God's ways always lead to God's presence. Moses asked the Lord. Moses, one of the most prolific prophets in the Bible, who wrote the first five books of the Bible, who was given the Ten Commandments, who was given the instructions for the tabernacle of worship, the first place of worship that the people of God would have. That man, he had a moment with the Lord, even in his relationship with God, to say, God, I need you to show me your ways. And you know what God's response to him was? He said, I will give you my presence. You see, God wants His people to follow His ways for worship because He wants His people to know His presence. He has not called His people to be a powerless people. He has not called His people to show up and talk about Him like He's not in the room. He has not called His people to show up and sing to Him like He is far and distant. No, He does not want to just be an omnipresent God. He wants to be a God who makes His manifest presence show up. And in order for that to happen, we have to follow His way of worship. But when you do follow His way of worship, there are moments that happen where the manifest presence of God comes down in such a way that you don't even have to open your eyes. You know it from the top of your head to the sole of your feet that, man, Jesus is in this room. The presence of Almighty God is in this room. And that is His heart's desire, that we would have moments continually, not just a service here or service there, but that we would honor Him and worship in such a way that His presence would be made manifest every time we gather. I'm so grateful that we're a part of a church that honors that. I'm so grateful that we're a part of a church that's like, God, we want to have your presence above all else. So how do we do that? How do we walk in the way of worship that God's called us to? The first is this: you need to choose to enter. Choose to enter. Psalm 100 verse 4 says this: enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. You have to choose to enter. Okay, Pastor, I get what you're saying. Like, I'm here. Does that count? Like, I chose to get up. I chose to get in the car. I even chose to get those screaming babies ready so I could be here. And here I am, like I'm in the room. Does that count? Just be in the room? I'm sorry, but it doesn't. Because it doesn't say choose to attend. It says choose to enter. And although you are in a physical building, you don't enter worship physically, because worship doesn't happen just physically. Worship happens spirit to spirit, your spirit communing with the Spirit of God. So when you decide to enter worship, you make up a decision in your mind that today I am not just showing up, today I am coming with praise and adoration, and today I am going to worship God. You have to make the choice to enter in. And here's the dangerous place we get with worship. Many of us have convinced ourselves that we'll choose to enter into worship when we feel it. I'll choose to enter into worship when it feels good. I'll choose to enter into worship, man, when they got the room right and the atmosphere is ready and everything is into it and everybody's into it. Man, and when I start feeling it, that's when I'll start worshiping. Can I tell you, that's a false narrative on worship. Transparently, if I can be really real with you, that's an immature approach to worship. You see, when you're young in your worship, sometimes somebody else has to go in before you. Sometimes you need somebody else to praise for you because you don't know how to praise and bring the presence of God down. And then the presence of God comes into the room, and then the Holy Spirit begins to move on your heart, and you're like, man, I want some of this. That's when you're young in worship. But really, maturity in a walk with Christ is to say, I don't have to feel it to worship God, because my worship is not based on feeling. My worship is based on faith. And my faith tells me God is God whether I feel it or not. And He's good whether I see it or not. And He's faithful whether I can tell it yet or not. Somebody say, enter in. And that's the question we have for ourselves. The question we need to ask ourselves every time we leave a worship gathering is not, did I like the singing? Did I like the song? Did I like the people? Were the people I was on the row with okay? Were the babies crying or were they not? The question you need to ask yourself if you want to be real before the Lord is this: did I enter in? Did I make the conscious choice to say, today, God, you are getting my praise? Because here's the powerful thing. When you begin to enter in, He begins to come near. The Bible says as you draw close to Him, He will begin to draw close to you. And there's one way you enter. You just begin to stir up gratitude in your heart. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. You know what thanksgiving makes you do? Thanksgiving makes you take your eyes off of yourself and put them on what He has already done for you. Because too often we come in and we don't worship because we're looking at everything that's going wrong and everything that's happened, and we're thinking about the stressful car ride on the way here, and we're thinking about what we got to do afterwards, and we're thinking about how bad things may be at home right now, and this big meeting that we've got coming up with work, and what's going to happen with this financial thing that's going on in my life, and what's going to happen with this wayward son that we're praying comes back to the Lord. And sometimes all these things begin to move in our mind, and we're thinking of all the things that are happening. And really, to enter into worship, you have to take your eyes off of those things for a moment and fix your eyes on Him. I lift my eyes, is what the psalmist said, to the hill from where my help comes from. If you'll begin to lift your eyes in gratitude, you'll actually unlock the help that you need for the place that you're in. But first, you have to choose to enter. Here's what Psalm 92, verses 1 through 2 says. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praise to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. And then verse 4 says this: for you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. You know what that is? That's gratitude. That's thanksgiving. Gratitude is taking an inventory of your life to say, let me think back and look back to the places where God has already worked in my life. Because even when I'm in a place that I don't feel like I can praise right now, when I begin to recount all the works that He has done, gladness begins to be stirred up in my heart. I think of how He brought me through and how He healed my body and how He saved my soul. And if I don't have anything else to be grateful for, I'll be grateful for the cross of Christ that allows me to come before Him, for His blood that saves me and eternal life. But you know what the overflow of a grateful heart is? As you begin to enter in, it's this second half of the scripture. It's at the work of your hands, I sing for joy. Look at somebody say, sing. Oh, you better help me preach. Look at somebody say, sing. There you go. Come on. You know the Lord loves singing. God absolutely is infatuated with singing. In fact, he's designed heaven around singing. His throne is at the center of it, but the closer you get to the throne of God, you know what you're going to hear? Singing. The closer you get to the Alpha and Omega, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords seated on his throne, the only thing you're going to begin to hear is a song of worship that has been on repeat for eternity and will go on for eternity. And all it is angelic beings forever crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. As you get near to the presence of God, you begin to hear singing. Why does God want his people to sing? Because he wants his people to know his presence. Psalm 100 verse 2 says it like this. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. There's something about singing that moves the heart of God. And you can serve all day long. I'm so grateful for all the serve team members that we have that show up faithfully, get here early, leave late. Man, we could not do this without you. I know you do it not because it's just something to do, but because the Lord has put it on your heart. But can I challenge you this morning? This scripture says, serve the Lord with gladness. Then next sentence says, come into his presence with singing. You can show up and serve him and miss his presence. Hello. You can show up and serve him and miss the opportunity to enter into communion with the God of all the universe. But all you have to do if you want to come into his presence is go ahead, keep on serving him, keep on giving him the things that you have. But when we are in moments of worship together, open up your mouth and give God the praise he is due. The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. The church I used to grow up in, they said, it's not a suggestion, it's a command. Open your mouth and praise the Lord. Why does God want your song? Why not just serve him? Why not just serve? God needs your service. He wants you to serve. But you know what? When you're serving with your hands. You're serving with your body. You're serving with your what you have. But the Bible clearly dictates that from the overflow of your heart, your mouth begins to speak. And when he has your song, he has your heart. And he's not as much interested in your lips as he is your heart. And when he sees a heart that is open to him, Katie bar the door, he is coming for it. He is going to be after it. He is coming to a heart that's open. So if you begin to open your mouth in praise, he will begin to move in with his presence. And some of y'all are thinking right now, Pastor Jaron, I can tell you this, you do not want me singing. Have you ever picked up a cat by its tail? That's what it's going to sound like right there. Well, here's the thing. God isn't looking for your pitch-perfect performance. God is not sitting on a throne like The Voice waiting to hit his buzzer and turn around to let you know if he's going to accept your song or not. My Bible says just make a joyful noise. So if all you got is a noise, a squeak, and a holler, you better lift up your voice and give God praise because he's not looking for pitch perfection. He's just looking for a heart that's ready to give him praise. And while you're singing to him, another way we enter in is you begin to bless his name. Bless his name. You know what it means to bless his name? Just brag on his character. Brag on how good he is. You see, as your heart begins to be filled with gratitude and it begins to come out of your mouth in praise, the thing that needs to be coming out of your mouth is just thinking about how good God is, how great he is, his character, that he's always faithful, that he's always there, that he'll never leave me or forsake me, that his name is higher than any other name that would come against me. You begin to bless his name. And one of the most fitting ways that we bless his name written out in Scripture is we do this right here. We lift our hands. You see, the lifting of hands is not something that's just a part of some faith traditions and not others. It's not something that's just a new fad that's been kind of coming along with the Pentecostal era or the charismatic movement or part of the modern church music movement. No, it's not anything modern. It's actually very ancient. You see, from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament, all the way to the book of Revelation, there are examples of people lifting their hands in worship. It is something that is God-honoring, it is something that is from Scripture, and it is something that is expected by the Word of God. The Bible says it like this in Psalm 63:4, "So I will bless you as long as I live. I'll brag on you, Lord, and in your name I will lift my hands." You know what's significant about lifting of the hands? Your hands represent all the power and authority that you have to run life yourself. The hands represent the skill that you have, the career that you have, the experience that you have. They represent the things that you've built, the family that you've raised, the things that you can do in your own fleshly ability that's represented by your hands. But when we come into moments of worship and we lift our hands, what we are saying is, Lord, I am taking my hands off of everything that I have, and I'm reaching for a greater hand that is reaching down to me. I take my hands off to let your hand come upon my life. Because, Lord, if your hand would come upon my life, I'll be blessed in a way I've never been blessed. If your hand would come upon my family, it will be blessed in a way it's never been blessed. So, Lord, I lift my hands to you. The lifting of the hands is a sign of surrender. When the cops show up, the first thing they do is say, yo, put your hands up. Why do they do that? Because it says, I surrender. Some of you in this room, God's been tugging on your heart for a long time, and in a few moments, we're going to open these altars. Somebody's been praying for you. A mama's been praying for you for many years. Family members have been believing and interceding for you. And today, I believe you're going to lift your hands to say, Lord, I surrender. Because when we lift our hands, there's nothing crazy about it. What it is a physical expression of a spiritual condition. God, you have control of my life. There's something really interesting in this scripture, though. Psalm 63, verse 4. When it says, so I will bless your name as long as I live. So I will bless you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Name. That word right there, when you begin to study what it means in the original Hebrew, it actually represents one of these. Maybe you've seen one of these. We don't really use these anymore. It's kind of a bygone thing. But in biblical times, these are very standard. This is a brand. And that word name there literally means a brand or a mark. And if you've watched any old Westerns like I have, you know, when the cattle are out on the field and everybody's cattle are mixed together, the only way you could tell whose was whose is by the brand. Because this thing had touched that thing, and when it touched it, it signified, I have paid for that one, and it is mine. I have paid for that one, and it is mine. Y'all aren't hearing me this morning. I have paid for that one, and it is mine. Do you realize when you lift your hands in worship, that when you lift your hands, it is saying to everyone around you, it is saying to all hell that would come against you, and it is saying to Father God, Lord, here's the mark. I have been marked by grace. I have been purchased with the high price of Calvary. He paid the price and paid and settled my debt when I couldn't do it myself. I have been touched by grace. Touched by grace. And as they come to the music, I realize as I'm preaching this, there's some people in this room that are like, man, that sounds really, really good. But I don't know if I can do that. Like, Pastor Jaron, like, that sounds awesome, man. But, like, you're one of them happy feelers in worship. Woohoo! And I'm more one of those introspective thinkers. Well, believe it or not, I used to be super reserved in worship. My dad's a pastor. Part of it was because I didn't even know what was going on. Part of it was because I didn't want to go there. I was like, man, that ain't me. Like, I'm going to be cool. Like, I'm a dude. Like, I ain't doing that. But what I had to learn is this, man. If Jesus, who is a man like no other, you take the example of a man, beat him all night long in the place where he's lost so much blood that he can hardly function, put a crown of thorns on his head, then make him carry a cross all day long, and then crucify him to that cross. And if Jesus, as a man, can spread his arms on the cross and sing songs of worship as he pours out his life for me, then that's all the example of a man that I need, that I can lift my hands in worship. If he spread his arms in worship, I'll lift my hands in worship and say, man, I'll never be like that man, but I'll lift my hands to say he set me free. But some of you, you're in the room and be like, man, I really want to go there, but I just don't know if I can. I don't know if that's my personality. I don't know. I'm really not that outgoing of a person. I really don't know if I can really do that. Well, here's the last way of worship for you. You surrender to the Holy Spirit. Philippians 3:3 says this, we worship by the Spirit of God. That's the Holy Spirit. And glory in Christ Jesus. And put no confidence in the flesh. You know what the flesh is? That's your ability. That's your personality. That's your comfortability. And sometimes recognizing God's ways is saying, God, this is the way I've been comfortable with it, but Lord, now I need you to help me do it different. And when Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit, he said this to his disciples. They were wondering the same thing. Jesus, we've been with you. It sounds good, everything that you're saying. But if you go away, I don't know that we have the ability to do this. And he looked at the disciples and said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, and he will be your helper. God wants you to worship and experience his presence in such a way that he will even send his Spirit to help you worship so you can go deeper into his Spirit and have further communion with him. But you have to receive the help of the Holy Spirit. He will help you. The Holy Spirit is also a witness. He can actually use, as you feel uncomfortable stretching out in worship for the first time, he can use that as a witness to those around you of the goodness of God in your life, the faithfulness of God in your life. But right now, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed all over this room, I believe even as I've been preaching and the Holy Spirit is here working in this room, there are some people in this room that would say, Pastor Jaron, when you're talking about a different way, a better way, like, man, I identify with that. Like, man, I did church before. I don't even know if I can come back after everything that I've done. Maybe you've had no faith background at all. Maybe God is here and you're just on Holy Spirit collision and God is tugging on your heart and you realize, man, I need a different way. Man, I need some peace in my life. I need some meaning in my life. I need purpose in my life. I've done it my way. I've chased relationships. I've chased accomplishments. I've chased the career. I've chased the accolades. I've chased the alcohol. I've chased the substances, and I've gone after it all, and my way isn't getting me anywhere. I need a different way. Well, let me tell you, there is not just a different way. You've come here to hear about the only way, because Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And this morning, I know that the Holy Spirit is pulling on hearts this morning to say, I want you to surrender to my way for your life. And all you have to do is admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Christ Jesus died on the cross for you and rose again, and confess him as Lord. And right now across this room, if that is you saying, Lord, I need to go your way, I need to stop following my way for my life, would you just raise a hand? Raise a hand, not for a preacher, but raise a hand as a physical expression of a spiritual condition that, Lord, I am surrendering to you right now. Hands going up all over this room. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In just a moment, I'm going to pray for you as you pray and admit, believe, and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Others of us here in this room, in just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to worship the Lord. The Holy Spirit has been challenging you during this message. Some of you, you're going to sing for the first time in a long time. The Lord's going to give you your song of worship back. The Lord's going to allow you to open up your mouth and give him praise. And I believe as you do that, his presence is going to be made manifest to you right in a seat or in an altar in a way that it hasn't been in a long, long time. Some of you are going to lift your hands in worship for the first time or the first time in a long time. And just in the past, as you have gone public with your faith, you're going to go public with your worship and say, I honor the Lord with my praise. He has marked me with grace. Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you for every life that is being surrendered to you right now. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your leading and guiding to lead us forward in the things of God. Lord, for every person who's lifted a hand to say, I'm surrendering my life to you. Lord, we pray that you would put them, God, together with the right people. Lord, let them find a great small group. Lord, right now as they're admitting that they're a sinner, believing in you and calling on you and confessing you as Lord and Savior, Lord, we pray that your presence would show up and meet them right where they are. And Lord, as we go into these moments of worship, Lord, I pray that no one would be held back and put confidence in the flesh, but that we would receive the help of the Holy Spirit and worship you in a way and give you the best praise that we've given you all day long. As we stand to our feet, can we just give a rousing amen in this house of worship this morning?